Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and, well, the views of our special guest. And to this afternoon, our special guest is Larry Pratt from the Gun Owners of America, who's back in Washington, D.C., representing you and me. Because believe me, a disarmed populace is a populace that cannot resist the tyranny that is being planned. There really are people who would have a dictatorship in America. And the reason that the Second Amendment was placed in the Constitution was to actually protect the other 9 amendments to the Constitution and the very heart of the Constitution itself. Because, of course, as Thomas Jefferson had written so well, in matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief with the chains of the Constitution. It was John Locke who said that government governs best and governs the least. But there have always been wicked men who want to control the lives of others, who wanted to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., under one guise or another, always here to help the people, but really to enslave them. And remember, any government that can provide whatever you need has to be able to take whatever you have. And any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And we're moving rapidly exactly in that direction. Of course, so much of this justified by, oh, we've got to protect the American people from the wicked Osama bin Laden. Because if we don't take away your freedom, why, Osama bin Laden is going to come over here and take away your freedom. And with that as a background, hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Good afternoon or evening, as the case may be.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what's going on back in Washington, D.C. Are we going to have a lot of trouble with the new Democratic Congress? Are they going to try to get through all sorts of unconstitutional gun legislation?
Well, we already have had trouble. They don't want us to tell you about what they're doing. And so they tried to put a gag in that would have made it very, very risky for citizens, especially just regular grassroots activists, to be talking about legislation and to dare to suggest to people they know that you ought to contact your congressman about this and tell him whether you like it or you don't. That had you talked to 500 people or more, had you been a blogger, certainly they could have construed your internet activity as a violation of the grassroots lobbying. And of course, the grassroots lobbying was something that they said, oh, we need to quote reform this because we've got all these ethical problems here in the Congress, and it's all the fault of all those people exercising their right of petition, their other First Amendment liberty, to contact the members of Congress. In other words, they would be as pure as the driven slush if it wasn't for people trying to get in touch with them. Just because the First Amendment protects that right, they think that you and I have been abusing it. And, of course, every time I would go on a talk show of this nature and urge people to be for or against a particular piece of legislation, well, they can't think of anything worse, I guess. That needs regulation. They would want us to file ahead of time what it is we're planning to talk about and to how many people. No wonder they think they can register guns. They think they can totally control speech.
Hey, they even wanted to do away with electric light bulbs and just have these fluorescent light bulbs. I mean, there's nothing that they'll stop about, but didn't we pretty well at least stop the first stage of that legislation there in the Senate?
Lord willing, we've got it stopped for now in the Senate. I think that you've put it just exactly the way it is. The House hasn't considered it. The House could slip something in, and frankly, they're not incapable of putting something into a conference committee where they might resolve the different versions of a House and a Senate.
Hold that thought right there.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon, or this evening, if you're on the East Coast, like our guest Larry Pratt, our guest is Larry Pratt, and we're talking about the issues facing America today. There really are people who want to take away your freedom. One of the first things they tried to get through the democratically controlled Senate was legislation that would effectively make much of what we do on this radio program illegal. You could not tell the people or you what was going on in Washington, D.C., or certainly encourage them to contact their senators or congressmen to vote one way or the other. And if you were in contact with more than 500 people, why, you'd have to fill out all sorts of forms and
By the way, if you didn't do all of those things, you were in danger of time in jail and a $200,000 fine. They were sure interested in cleaning up Congress, right?
Right. Of course, every time they say, oh, isn't it terrible? They've got these terrible lobbyists here, and they're giving us all this money, and we really don't want this money. So if we could just control the grassroots people, somehow that is going to solve the problem. It's like taking guns away from law-abiding citizens is somehow going to stop the criminals from using guns. It's about as logical.
And that, of course, is one of the big challenges that we're going to face this Congress, because Carolyn McCarthy, a representative from Long Island, has been pushing a gun control bill, a big one, for several years. And we were only barely able to stop her last year. And that was in a Republican Congress, but the committee chairman, Jim Sensenbrenner, conservative Republican from Wisconsin, had voted for the Brady Law, and so he didn't think that McCarthy's bill to expand the Brady Law was any particular problem. And we just barely stopped that bill, and it was particularly precarious because the NRA was supporting it. They think it's going to make it easier for people to get guns, at least those few who are left that are not totally disqualified already, by the expanded prohibitions in the bill. This bill would give $1 billion to the states, and I think that would be for openers. And the idea would be that the states would shovel all kinds of data back to a central police computer, the FBI's, at the federal government. And with that data, they would be looking for people that might have had something recorded in a courthouse about a minor domestic conviction. Say they shouted at a, in one case, one of our members was a young man, and he was shouting at his dad so bad that his dad called the cops.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And you have to understand that, as someone once said, freedom never closes thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. It's very hard for people here in America to imagine what it would be like to live without freedom. But there really are people in Washington, D.C., who want a dictatorship in America. One only has to read the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, and the writings certainly of a Connecticut senator, I guess it was Leahy. And he said, this is a Democrat liberal senator who said, this legislation, John Warner Defense Appropriation Act, encourages the president to establish martial law in America. Encourages the president. Even the Democrats are concerned about it. Well, Chris, the one thing is they want to disarm the American people, and there was this legislation that was pushed during the last part of Congress, so that if you had ever had any minor charge against you, even a misdemeanor charge, would make you ineligible ever to have a gun again?
That is the idea. It started in 1996, and with the data that the feds had, they began to disqualify people, disbar people from having the right to keep and bear arms.
And, of course, the thing is that the Constitution prohibits that, so they're going to try to somehow use the states to do that. Is that it?
Well, yeah. They didn't pay a never mind to the idea that you don't go back and change the rules in the middle of the game. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman earlier this evening, and he told of a situation where one of these shouting contests had led to it happened to be with a wife that he was getting a divorce, and he said, she said, and and he gets brought up for a domestic violence misdemeanor strictly on a verbal exchange, and according to him, she was alleging that he'd said something, made a threat that he hadn't even made, but his attorney said, look, this is 1992, this is before the rules had been changed, this is going to cost you more to pay me to fight this than it would be to pay the relatively very small fine, the misdemeanor doesn't have any consequences, and so the guy went ahead and paid it. Well, 4 years later, kaboom, that conviction now has cost him all of his right to keep and bear arms. So,
but wait a minute, that's an ex rose facto law.
That's just a four-letter word inside the Beltway. So what's that among consenting politicians? And so they just went ahead and did it, the Constitution to the contrary notwithstanding. And they only have had a certain amount of data that were available at the federal level, and so they want to. McCarthy wants to have this $1 billion to have the states scarf up stuff from courthouses on these minor convictions on indictments. Haven't been convicted, but now you're going to be debarred for life unless you can prove that your indictment was quashed, was not processed, or that you were ultimately acquitted. And
well, you could be indicted, then they wouldn't follow through with it, couldn't they?
Well, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but here and under this set of rules, no. So they just want to get everybody that's been indicted for any kind of criminal charge. Well, it's not a big secret, and most lawyers will tell you, oh, sure, a prosecutor can usually get a ham sandwich indicted if he wants to. And so the fact that you've been indicted doesn't really mean anything, except the prosecutor, for whatever reason, got an indictment. Now, we saw what happened with those frat boys that, of course, they were doing something they really shouldn't have been doing, but they weren't doing something that was one of the most major criminal offenses either. But they got an indictment anyway, and the prosecutor knew that the facts were contrary to what he was saying. And I could go, well, in fact, those Border Patrol agents that I'm sure you've talked about, Mr. Ramos and Mr. Compeán, the prosecutor, every day I read more information about what the prosecutor knew was contrary to what he actually said to the jury to get the conviction.
Oh,
and
I know.
The indictment to begin with.
And, of course, you have overzealous prosecutors over here across the hill from me in San Jose. They got about 10 people out of prison that the prosecutors had sent there by falsifying evidence. This happens in America. Prosecutors get a notch in their belt. They don't care if you're innocent. They send you to prison. Those prosecutors should go to prison, but of course they're not. They'll just be promoted and given a
nice... In a just society, the false accuser should suffer the penalty of the person he was falsely accusing. You're exactly right. Those prosecutors should be, but of course, who's going to put them in jail? So we have to keep backing the problem up until we come to, it's you and me. We haven't voted for politicians that we hold accountable for stopping the imposition of judges on us that go along with this kind of stuff. And if the prosecutor is elected, if we elected that prosecutor, well, then it's, the people's fault ultimately. Now, there's information that's not shared. The media doesn't. Now, there's a lot of culpability here. But ultimately, we're the ones that cast the vote. And if we think so lightly of it that we believe whatever we read in the San Francisco Chronicle or the Washington Post, well, then it's not entirely the media's fault. Although, I'm not trying to defend the media. I'm just trying to encourage all listening to be more diligent, because that's the only way we're going to preserve our liberty.
Amen to that. And, Chris, I would just simply point out, a little off the subject, we have over 2 million people in prison here in the United States today, and that's just in prison. One of every three young black men is in prison on probation or parole. We have more people imprisoned in the United States today per 100,000 than any communist nation in the world today. What does that say about what's going on in America? And if you have ever been indicted or anything, of course you would lose your right to have a gun to protect yourself and your family, even if it's a minor issue.
A minor issue.
Now, this
exactly
is really what they want to do, and they're not going to take the guns away from the criminal element. I mean, after all, if they'd simply get all the criminals to turn in their guns and then all the police to turn in their guns, then we wouldn't have any shooting and then everybody could turn in their guns. But the world doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. And frankly, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but since there's so many people that listen to your show that may not have heard it because you have a big audience that keeps changing, I think it's worth mentioning that we need to challenge those who think that, in this case, the Brady background check is going to do any good. Oh, well, it stopped 700,000 people from buying a gun, or whatever their latest guesstimate might be. Well, it stopped people from getting a gun who didn't realize that argument that they had with the wife they were divorcing in 1992 was going to clobber them. Yeah, so it stopped that guy from getting a gun when he tried to get one in 2000 after his other guns were stolen. Now, should he really have lost his right to keep and bear arms? That's the first question. I would say no, and certainly not on an ex post facto basis, even less. But I don't even think, if knowing today that the rule's going to be changed and anybody that gets one of these convictions in the future forever and ever can't protect themselves, come on. I God forgives, but the state doesn't. It's not as if the state has control over what people are going to do. They're not protecting us from these people. They don't really care about that. And you look at England, where they got rid of all the handguns. They confiscated all the legal handguns in 1997, and they confiscated most of the other long guns as well. A few farmers and sportsmen can, in safes, keep their shotguns and single-shot little 22 plinkers. But the pistol team for the British Olympic team has to go to Belgium in order to practice with their handguns. So they're pretty strict about it over there. You'd think, well, now there's an island that, with all this gun control, I'll bet they really lick their crime problem. Well, the UN has found that they have the worst violent crime rate of any of the industrial countries in the world. And in fact, it's going up through the roof. It's so bad that the government has begun to fudge on the murder rate statistics. For instance, if a stick-up occurs at a convenience store, and in the course of that robbery, say two people are killed, the only record of a crime is that there was a robbery at that convenience store, because that was the underlying crime, and the murders won't get recorded.
And, of course, the thing is that it has been shown in many studies that when more people have weapons, why the criminals, they're not going to be armed, they're not going to use weapons. They may break into your house, but they're not going to have a weapon because they know you may have a weapon and you may shoot them.
Oh, that is a big deterrent. In England, the criminals are so brazen, knowing that not only will there not likely be an armed citizen waiting for them behind the door, but if the home invader were attacked and harmed by the homeowner is the one who's in trouble. The Solicitor General of England has talked about, we have to protect burglars too. They're part of the community. They have rights.
Sure. So
with that kind of thinking, I read an article about a month ago, women in England, particularly single women, living alone, have taken to sleeping with chains, baseball bats, anything that might be a weapon under their bed. Now, God help them if they really harm the attacker, but that's how much fear people are living in this gun control paradise. It just hasn't worked the way they said it would work.
But of course, they've got their video cameras up every place. They're listening to all the conversations. They're moving rapidly towards a dictatorship.
Cameras let them know where to send the body bag.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living not in a world gone mad, but a world where there are people who have a different agenda because they have a different worldview, because they worship a different God. And if we don't go back to our Constitution, which is the fundamental law of this nation, which says, you know, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. We don't need to argue. We need to point out that we've got lawbreakers in Congress, and we need to hold them responsible. If the members of Congress violate their oath to uphold the Constitution, then they should be sent to prison. Boy, we wouldn't have very many people left, would we? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Let's start enforcing our laws. Let's learn our Constitution. Let's realize that limited government and liberty are synonymous. Well, Larry, go ahead and pick the story up there.
Well, so England has got this monumental failure. It seems to me that is the challenge we should put before everybody who is advocating some new or increase in existing gun control measure. Before we go along with that, just as a practical matter, forget the Constitution, they ought to be asked, what is it that is different about a background check that somehow is going to be better at controlling crime than in Britain, where they don't have to worry about background checks because there aren't any dealers selling any of these guns? The cops estimate that there's some double the number of illegal guns, mostly handguns, in the country 10 years now after they confiscated 1.5 million of the legal guns. So now, challenge to the gun controller is, explain to us how this background check is going to do better than a gun ban, no dealers in an island nation. And I think that to pose the question answers itself. Clearly it's not going to work, but here's the real kicker of the McCarthy bill, and why even somebody listening to us talk about this right now who doesn't own a gun, maybe doesn't even like guns, please listen to this. There is a privacy issue that involves every single American, because this bill will touch every single American. And the irony is that even as we're on the verge of killing the national ID card that was instigated by the Real ID Act, 2-3 years ago, using the driver's licenses of each state, forcing them to be uniform, forcing them to contain the kind of data that they're instructed to by the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, who ultimately could, say, put an RFID chip in the card with all that information. That is about ready to go down in flames, as upwards of 25 states are working on bills to say, well, that law is not going to be law in our state. Much the way northern states did in the run-up to the War of Lincoln's Aggression, and they said the fugitive slave law is not law in this state. They nullified it. And that's what states are doing, are on the verge of doing right now with the Real ID Act. Okay, maybe that's going to go away. Don't think we've got rid of the problem, folks, because Carolyn McCarthy's bill, which, as I say, is supported by the NRA. So let me just say right here, if people would go to gunowners.org and send an email from the gun owners website, we've got an email written. It's right there in the big gun grab email that we've got posted at the top of our page. The Congress needs to hear from everybody listening, and everybody that you can get to go ahead and do the same thing. They need to hear, and they need to hear fast, that we view this as gun control. We don't think we need more of the Brady Law. We need to get rid of the Brady Law. We need less of it as a starter, for goodness sake.
And I would like to simply intercede here. The reason that I have Larry Pratt on as a guest from Gun Owners America and not anybody from the NRA is because so frequently they're on the wrong side of issues. And you have to ask yourself, why would the National Rifle Association be on the wrong side of issues? And I, my personal opinion, I would not ask Larry his at all. But my personal opinion is, if you wanted to get gun legislation through, you wouldn't attack, try to get it through from outside. You'd infiltrate various organizations and use the people who really support and the right of the people to carry arms to actually destroy that right. And so, for whatever reason, the NRA often is on the wrong side of issue after issue, on the wrong side of this one.
Our
guest is Larry Pratt, and Larry, you go ahead and pick up this story. Larry was simply pointing out the fact that the NRA is actually supporting this incredible legislation, as they supported the Brady Bill a couple of years ago, didn't they?
They did, and they think that, well, this is going to make getting a gun easier, it protects the dealer from liability, all these kinds of things. Well, I haven't noticed that it protected dealers from liability. The Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives continues to put dealers out of business. Dealers continue to get sued. So that wasn't very much protection, and it certainly isn't going to make it easier for people to get a gun who had like an indictment that they were able to show was wrong, and they beat it. But that'll stay on their record, because that's the way government record keeping works. They don't let information go. They just keep adding. And so what McCarthy is ultimately proposing is that data from the states, from courthouses, from schools, from hospitals, from tax departments, all this stuff that the equivalent at the federal level is pretty much integrated already, but this is going to be throwing in all of the state data as well into this federal computer. So the excuse is that they can look for an illegal alien that might have a gun. Well, that's, you know, against the law for him to have a gun. Of course, there's another way to solve the problem. Rather than making every citizen a subject who is transparent to the government, they might just try closing off the border so we don't have quite so many illegal aliens in the country with or without guns.
And they might make it so that a police officer who arrests the illegal alien, not an immigrant or not a migrant, but an illegal alien who's violated our laws, he's driving without a license, they can't turn him over to the INS.
No, and when a county sheriff's deputy down in Texas shot at a car that full of illegals that had tried to run him down, they've got him convicted. By the way, it's the same U.S. attorney that put Ramos and Compeon behind bars, the same guy who lies like a rug but doesn't care, because I really think they're trying to send a message not only to the Border Patrol, but to all the local law enforcement: keep your hands off the border. We don't believe there should be a border. Don't you try to enforce one.
And my understanding is, of course, he's really carrying out the programs of the White House that says one thing and supports another. Oh.
And if they will do this to a cop who is part of the system, and they'll put him in jail on trumped-up charges, imagine what our gun rights are like when we use a gun in self-defense, mere citizens. I mean, and I'm not in any way trying to disparage the two Border Patrol agents, because I think what was done to them was horrible. I'm just saying the system tends to protect its own. And if they're eating now some of their own, oh my goodness, what will they do to the rest of us?
In fact, I'm sure you well know that one of those officers in prison for 10 years, you know, and ordinarily you protect the officers when they're in prison from the criminals, but that they put him out, of course, in the open yard where he was almost beaten to death, concussion, multiple breaks he made, never recovered. We don't know. He's in the hospital now. Why would they do something like that? Why would they take this officer, who was targeted, obviously, by the federal prosecutor to be put in prison, and then, of course, put him in a place where his life would be endangered? If you can't protect, you know, people outside of prison, and you're not going to try to protect them in prison, I mean, where is anybody safe today?
They had said that they were going to put him in a minimum security prison and keep him isolated from even that general population, which theoretically would be less hostile and less dangerous.
And
so they put him in a medium security prison, and they put him out in the general population.
They lied. They lied, and they've wanted him to be beaten up. That's a great message for any police officer working on the border. You do your job, you may end up there, too.
Absolutely. And so if I were the Minutemen, I would, I'm glad they're doing what they're doing, and I admire them for doing what they're doing, but they will not be given any less of a raw deal. One of the folks that we've been working with, Roger Barnett, has a ranch right on the border, and when he, in response to a hunter, one hunter and a several other people in a party, made a gesture of moving their gun toward him, he got his gun to chase him off, and he lost a big settlement in a civil trial for damages.
Because they pointed a gun at him, and he took a gun out. Oh, well, what a terrible thing to do.
Exactly. He's on his own property. They're committing a crime. They were trespassing, and most of them were hunting without a license anyway. And yet he's the guy that loses the big monetary settlement.
Well, I think we have to understand that there is a prejudice against guns. There's a prejudice against self-defense. We live in a world really gone mad, but it's not really gone mad. There is an agenda. The people on the other side know what they are up to, and they want a disarmed, subservient, servile population. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Larry Pratt to explore this whole tragic situation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Larry Pratt. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I think that the McCarthy bill, H.R. 297, and I hope people will go to the Internet, go to our website, and go to gunowners.org and send an email, which is, we've made it easy, we've pre-written it, and you can change it if you like, but it's very simple to send it off with a few clicks. The Congress has to hear that you don't want this measure, because here, just to repeat, we were talking about the fact that the National ID card, as it was proposed in the so-called Real ID Act, may be about to die in the next month or two as several states pull the plug on it, making it impossible for it to operate. And then in comes, through the back door, Carolyn McCarthy, $1 billion, telling the states to vacuum up all the data they possibly can on every American because they're going to go looking for wrongdoers.
Yeah, because what they're really doing is making... they call it data mining. They're really building dossiers at the national level on every American citizen. In the name, of course, of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden.
That is exactly what's going on. They are using this, in this case, gun control, as a cover for building the big database. And they'll tell you that, well, you don't want guns getting into bin Laden's hands, do you? Well, please give me a break. Bin Laden doesn't really need the 38 or the 45 or the ranch rifle that I might find at my local gun store. Bin Laden has mortars and missiles and real machine guns, and he has all the stuff he needs, not to mention explosives. He really doesn't need to come to a U.S. gun show or a U.S. gun store and get some of these things. It just doesn't work that way.
But if we're involved in a war on terrorism, if the terrorists really are here and they're going to attack us at any time, we need an armed population to defend themselves, just as during the Second World War. Why, you know, every Englishman had a rifle or a shotgun or something to fight the Nazis if they came across the channel.
Well, so, and the same in our country. If you know anything about our domestic politics, Maryland is considered, rightly, a very anti-self-defense, anti-gun state. But during the Second World War, the governor of Maryland issued a treatise, which as soon as we get a chance, we're going to get it up on our website, that talks about the importance of an armed people, that he was calling up the militia because he didn't want to rely on any of the soldiers who were desperately fighting abroad, that they couldn't be spared.
Hold that thought right there, Larry. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America, and we're going to have him tell the story, as you, he was just telling us about Maryland. But before we do that, I want Larry to get out his website, and I want you to go there, and certainly there's a place there where you can send an email to your congressmen and your senators about this legislation that they're trying to get through, the expansion of the Brady Bill being put forward by Representative McCarthy. So would you give your website and your contact information one more time, Larry?
Well, thank you. It's at gunowners.org. That's the website, and that's where you can go to get the information on this legislation that we're talking about. If you can't get on the web, then we would certainly encourage you to go ahead and get a telephone number written down. It's toll-free. It's 888-88-6-GUNS. That's 888-886, and then G-U-N-S. That'll get you to our office, and we'll get you the information about Gun Owners of America and the mailings that we put out that have information about these bills that are before us on Capitol Hill, in Capitol Hill. So, yes, the governor of Maryland said that the only way to efficiently and effectively deal with the possibility of saboteurs coming in, and in fact, it happened in Long Island. A U-boat let off a bunch of Nazi operatives, and they were ultimately arrested. And can you imagine, they were executed. They were not put in Guantanamo and given three squares a day and the Koran and everything else. They were just taken out and given a little justice right away. But the governor of Maryland was saying, look, let's let's use the militia. And he called up the militia down to what he was calling boys. I think he was talking about mid-teenagers. Imagine a 15-year-old with a gun. Well, of course, we've got to protect power plants. We've got to protect ports. Maryland's a big seacoast state. And that was the statement of the governor of Maryland. And it's really a magnificent modern-day pay-in to the importance and the value of the militia.
And, of course, this was during the Second World War that Larry's talking about. But there were really a threat of terrorism today. Immediately after 9-1-1, they would have closed the southern border. They would have mobilized the militia. They would be guarding our chemical plants. They would be guarding our nuclear plants.
That's homeland security.
Right, of course, but they're not doing it.
No, they're not.
They're not even checking the cargo that goes onto the planes. They check your handbag, and my goodness, if you have a 6-inch bottle or an empty tube of toothpaste, they're going to take it away from you. But they don't even bother to check the cargo going on those planes. What sort of madness is that? Or maybe it's all a matter of perception.
Well, and it's the same administration that has twice decided that they knew better than an act of Congress that the administration signed that directed the administration to accelerate the arming of pilots. The Bush administration has done everything they can to decelerate the arming of pilots. And to this day, this many years after 9/11, we're still barely able to say that 10% of the pilots have been able to get a permit to carry a gun in their cockpit. And when they leave the cockpit, that gun cannot be on them. It has to be checked as luggage. If they're flying deadhead, they're back in the cabin with you and me. They cannot have the gun with them. I mean, this is crazy.
And in fact, most of our planes do not have marshals on them, air marshals. Oh, we can't tell you how many have them because that's a secret, because we don't want Osama bin Laden to learn. But they do have a terrorist watch list at every airport. But they don't put the names of the terrorists on there because they don't want the terrorists to know that we know who they are. However, names of 14 of the 19 hijackers who are supposedly died on 9/11 there. They have their names on, their names, dates, pictures. All that information is on the terrorist list, watch list. Cost $144 million for that. $144 million to maintain this watch list that has the names of the 14 of the 19 hijackers on it? What madness is that?
Maybe the watch list is better than I would have thought when I realized that Ted Kennedy wasn't allowed to fly one time. His name was on the list. Now, as much as I don't like Ted Kennedy, I'm not sure his name belongs on that kind of a terrorist list. And maybe you can say he's a terrorist for other reasons, but I don't think that's what we're talking about. Also, Representative Don Young missed a flight one time as well because he was on the list. So they seem to be a cross between the Gestapo and the Keystone Cops. You don't know whether to laugh or to scream.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I just got back from a flight over this last weekend, and one of the fellows was checking my bag after I'd gone through, because I always get searched because I got a couple of metallic hips, and you know, he was going through my material, and I went over there and made some remark about, well, I certainly appreciate his doing such a good job, and we got talking about what was going on. I told him about Radio Liberty. And he came over afterwards, gave me his card, and he said, "You ought to know how ridiculous this whole situation is. This is a guy who works there."
Good for him.
And he goes, "But he's a job, and so he does his job. He gets a salary. All of this money is being wasted, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't stopped any terrorist attacks. All of this is a matter of perception. You hear about all the terrorist attacks we've prevented. Every one of them, as far as I can tell, was actually a trapping where they actually had agent provocateurs who were encouraging the people, entrapping the people into making ridiculous statements. And some of these guys who never would have thought of ever even bombing anything at all, Muslims, will spend 30 years in prison because an FBI agent provocateur got them to say, well, gee, maybe we ought to bomb something. Go right ahead, Larry.
Well, Stan, in the name of fighting this the war on terrorism, gun control is being advanced as a way to do it. and we hear these really crazy claims. And so the burden, just like that terrorist watch list on people who are flying, the burden is going to be placed on people who have nothing to do with terrorism, nothing to do with crime, because real criminals and real terrorists don't really bother going to gun stores and putting their right names down and yes, I'm an illegal alien here, and I want to buy these machine guns, and I want to buy them off paper with no record of the transaction. Come on. That's just not the real world. Doesn't happen.
And besides, if the terrorists wanted to bring them in, they'd bring them across our entirely open border.
Open border, yeah.
You know that this whole thing is a scam. If they were really intent upon doing something, they would have closed our border and built a fence. They've done another. We're over 5 years into this, almost 6 years now, and they have no intention of closing that border.
And then while nobody's looking, the Bureau, the BATFE, as I like to pronounce it because I don't think they like it, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, are really going hard against dealers and manufacturers. There's a fellow out in Montana that's been making a parts kit that if you take it and the instructions that he provides, you can finish that kit and end up with an AR-15 rifle or a 1911 45 caliber pistol, but the law allows you to make your own firearm as long as you never sell it. You don't even have to put so much as a serial number on it, and it's perfectly legal. And the government raided him, cleaned out his inventory, and yet others who were doing the same thing and even bringing the buyer a lot closer to the completed product before the buyer receives a shipment of parts, they're being left alone. But I think this sole machinist who was running this business, KT Ordnance in Dillon, Montana, they picked on him because they figured this sole operator of a business with a family was easy pickings. And by the grace of God, I think we're going to beat them. But this guy wasn't sure for many a week that he was going to be able to keep his lights on, keep his internet site up. He's lost customers because the customers don't know if he's going to be around to fulfill contracts because they know he's been zapped by the BATFE. So this is just one guy, a gun store dealer in Houston, beat the BATF in court when he showed that they were using perjured witnesses to try to put him in jail. So what are they trying to do now? Well, they're trying to take his license away.
Wait a minute. If you use a perjured witness, why then the prosecution should be tried for malfeasance and, you know, for misuse of power.
The prosecution would have to try itself. There's the rub. And so nothing happens to these people who lie on the stand, and that, unless it's you or me. And then if we lie, then we certainly rightly get nailed, but it doesn't rightly work that way at all when we're talking about the government. They can do what they want because they're above the law, is really what it seems.
Well, the president has actually said that. He said, you know, I sign these laws, but, you know, I put on a signing statement that says I won't abide by the law I just signed. What madness is that?
What madness indeed. And what kind of a signal does that send to the people who are supposed to be obeying the law if the person who signs it into law is saying that this is really pretty stupid and I'm not going to keep it?
Well, we've got a real problem because, of course, we lost the moral foundation of our society. We've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of school, so there is no supreme authority. Do what thou wilt. That's the whole of the law. And if you can get away with it, why, you can end up being as rich as, you know, as Bill Gates.
You know, what you're saying is embodied, is presented so effectively, I think, in a painting that I have a copy of in my office, and it shows the complete support that the scripture gives for the armed citizen. It shows some Puritans walking through the snow on their way to church, Bible in hand in one hand and musket in the other. And that is so exactly spot on for the mindset that produced this free country that we've had and the prosperity that we've enjoyed. It came out of that biblical foundation that supports the idea of self-defense and of individual reliance providing that self-defense, because they didn't even have elected sheriffs for a long time in colonial America. We were talking about people protecting themselves, and if they needed a jury, the jury would be formed by the citizens themselves, and it wasn't a question of the judge telling the jury what to think and how the law would be understood based on what the judge said, nor was the prosecutor able to operate. In fact, there usually wasn't a prosecutor unless it was an infamous, like a murder trial or something like that. Most trials, the prosecution was done by the aggrieved people. They would hire a lawyer, and then the trial would go forth against the other side's lawyer, and there would be a judge who would hear it, but it wasn't this business about the government lording it over us, telling the jury, well, you've got to leave the room now. We're going to talk about some things that we don't want your pretty little head getting all confused with. That's just not the way it started out, and we have little by little by little let our popular control over the way our government worked, we've let it slip out of our hands until this other institution called the government claims to have control. Well, they're not the government. The people are. The people, I'm afraid, though, have let it be usurped, let it be stolen, and there's the rub, and we've just got to get our act together if we, and I think there's still time, but it's certainly getting late in the day, and it means we're going to have to turn off the television, and we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and get involved in ways that we really haven't for a long time.
Well, our form of government was made for moral and religious people. It would not work for any other. And if you don't have a moral and religious people, then, of course, you're going to have a dictatorship. That's the only way it'll work. You'll either be ruled by God or you'll be ruled by tyrants. Which do you want? And I think, unfortunately, since we've turned our back on God and we've abandoned the Constitution, and there's not probably 1 in 100 people who can explain the difference between a republic and a democracy, or explain, you know, what the true meaning of our Bill of Rights was, which was to restrict the power of government over the lives of the people. And the realization, of course, that most of what goes on in Washington, D.C. is in violation of the Constitution, and the lawbreakers are really in the legislature, who've sworn to uphold the Constitution, are not passing laws that are specifically prohibited by the Constitution, because all power not specifically given to Congress by the Constitution is limited to the states and the people. And there's nowhere there for a national ID card. There's nowhere there for taking the rights of the people to keep and bear arms away, or restricting what is done as far in our schools, as far as prayer. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or the free practice thereof. And for almost 200 years, we had prayer in our schools, but no longer. That's unconstitutional. No, we have turned our back on our Constitution, and our people and our ministers and our legislators have refused to stand up to the tyrants in our courts who have a different agenda, because they want a different type of America. And if we want to reclaim America, we're going to have to get busy. I agree with you, Larry. There's still time. What should people do?
Well, I've been urging people to, at least one little thing that can be done is to go to the gunowners.org website for Gun Owners of America. And there is an email that we sent out that's right at the top of the page. You're going to see it first thing, major gun control in the new Congress. You can read through that, see again what we've been talking about. There's an email at the end that you can send off. And just because of your zip code, it will know which is the representative that it needs to go to, and, of course, the senators. And in just a matter of probably less than a minute, you'll have registered that vote. But I hope you don't let it stop there. I hope you will get others to do the same thing. We're fighting this fight alone. The media is for it. The anti-gunners like Carolyn McCarthy are for it. The NRA is for it. And so while I think we can win, I don't think it's going to be easy, and it will be, frankly, something that may get through the House, and we may only be able to stop it if we can get some good old-fashioned filibustering done in the Senate. Thank God the filibustering rules were not done away with in the name of getting some judges nominated, as much as that needed to be done. I am so glad those rules are still there, because it's already what saved our bacon on this First Amendment fight that we were fighting and the lobby reform. Had there not been those filibuster rules, that bill would have been all the way through, and it, probably the House would have acted by now, and it would already be law, and they'd be telling folks to shut up and stop all that grassroots lobbying corruption of Congress.
And the one thing these people fear is the American people are going to find the truth. And what's that truth? There are people who have a different worldview, and they want an authoritarian, godless society. And that is their ultimate goal. Well, you can be involved. Gunowners of America is a great organization. Yeah, long before I met Larry Pratt. 44 years ago, I met the founder of Gunowners of America, Bill Richardson, later to become Senator Bill Richardson. At that time, Bill was a congressman. That's a long time ago. But, you know, it's a great organization. I recommend it to you. Go to the website, gunowners.com. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. But you're going to have to be involved if you value freedom. Well, Larry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program for us.
Okay. Well, let's just once again give out that gunowners.org is the website. That's the place where the action can start. And if you sign up there, you're not going to get a ton of emails. So don't be afraid of are sending out just one thing after another. If you want a newsletter, that's what people pay $20 a year for. But the email comes out when there's something legislatively that's happening on the Hill, and occasionally we get we're able to do something at the state level, but mostly we're a federally oriented lobby, and the membership is so important. And so it, to a fair extent, a numbers game. And I can tell you that when we stopped it last year and we were the only voice being heard, our members were the only voice being heard against the McCarthy bill that was on the verge of popping out of a House committee at that time, we were told by staffers on the Hill, oh boy, did we hear from your guys. I sort of cleaned that up, but it was a very emphatic statement that there was. They knew that there were gun owners out there, either actual or at least members of, that were supporting our position, which was to kill the McCarthy bill. And as a result, they just decided to do some other business and let the McCarthy bill languish, and finally time ran out, and we stopped it at least last year. This year, the committee will be a lot harder to work with because while Sensenbrenner, the chairman, who really didn't object to the bill at all, that wasn't happily the top of his agenda, but it is, I'm quite sure, toward the very tippy top of John Conyers, the very left-wing representative from Detroit, Michigan, who is now chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. So this is a really tough fight, and it means not just a lot of people not being able to buy guns, as bad as that is, it, at least not legally, it means that there are going to be just all kinds of data available about the entire American population. We're talking about the database for a national ID card. Even as we're killing one national ID card, we're setting the stage for the same thing to happen again. Through the back door.
Hey, we're just about out of time, Larry. I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's always
thank
a pleasure
to
have you here, and we'll look forward anytime you've got something you want to go on the air with. Why, we got 5 hours a day. Give us a call.
Very kind. Thank you so much.
God
appreciate
us.
What you're doing.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I hope you enjoy Larry Pratt. I do. That's gunowners.org. That's gunowners.org. Great organization. I feel very, very comfortable recommending them to you. They're honorable, God-fearing people. Well, you have to understand we're involved in a struggle against people who have a different worldview, who really do want a dictatorship in America. And you either get involved now and stand up and be counted, or you're going to be counted out. And there are still an awful lot, the vast majority of American people do value freedom, and we can have a tremendous impact. But we have to understand what we're really up against. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. You need, of course, to get the other material we have, Malachi Martin's book. Hostage to the Devil. You need to get the 4-tape set on Malachi Martin. You need to get our new 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act. You need to get our 4-tape set on concentration camps or the concentration camp special. And people say, that's crazy talk. Why, we can never have a dictatorship in America. We can never have concentration camps in America. So I defy you to get on your internet and Google in Japanese concentration camps, $38 million. And you'll find out that we just appropriated $38 million to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps because we don't want anybody to forget how terrible it was to put American citizens into concentration camps. And then I want you to Google in Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps. You'll find out we gave Halliburton $385 million to build a detention camp. Now, if we don't want people ever to forget how terrible it was to put people into concentration camps, Japanese American citizens in concentration camps during the Second World War, why are we building new concentration camps in America? Well, that's, you have to read the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act or the Military Commission Act or get our 4-tape set on that subject. The Military Commission Act. You'll be shocked by what you hear. But you need to have the information, and then you need to check it out. You need to find out why. Liberal Senator Patrick Leahy said, of Vermont, said, this is an invitation for a military dictatorship. And then you need to get our concentration camp special. You need to hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, longtime chairman of the House Banking Committee, saying there really is a plan in the case of a national emergency to actually suspend the Constitution and round up Americans and put them into concentration camps. You'll have to see the film footage of him saying that. And then you need to understand, and watch if you're in California, watch on these programs almost daily by the governor's wife, Maria Shriver, where she talks about, are you prepared for an emergency here? And all across America, they're putting on ads, are you prepared for an emergency? They know what's coming down the line. And most people are not prepared. Well, you need to be spiritually prepared because this truly is a struggle against satanic forces. You need to be, of course, prepared. You need to have all the things that you would need to survive if a breakdown of our society. You need to have weapons to defend yourself if there's a breakdown in society, as there was, of course, when Hurricane Katrina struck New Orleans. And what did they do to defend the people? They came and took their weapons away from them. You need to have food. You need to have ability to purify water. You need to have health products available. You need to be able to look after yourself for days or weeks at a time, you and your family and your neighbors, and start to make your preparations now. If you'd like more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get the health catalog or the emergency food cataloger where you can get the things that you need to begin putting aside and understand we're involved in the spiritual battle for the survival of souls and the survival of Western civilization. There really are we evil people out there who have planned for millennia to use America's wealth and financial power to bring about a new world order. And now they want, of course, to destroy this country. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if we don't turn back to God, God will never protect America. And lastly, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until tomorrow, at the same time, once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.